I invite you to open up your scriptures this morning to Exodus chapter 17. And let's read together verses 1 through 7. It says, "The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' Moses replied, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?' But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt and make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.' The Lord answered Moses, 'Go out in front of the people, take some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.' So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" I want to invite you to ponder that last phrase. Is the Lord among us or not? It's going to be the question that kind of guides our study of this text this morning. And if you take note, my title here is a little different than the title that you have in your bulletin. I changed it because this one makes a little bit more sense than dying for a drink. But I want to invite you, have you ever asked the question, is the Lord among us or not? Have you ever got to that spot in your journey where you had all sorts of things, kind of expectations set in front of you, and it didn't turn out quite the way you thought it would? And the question that comes to mind, maybe not in these exact words, but is the Lord among us or not? I want to take you back to a particular point in my journey. Ordinarily, in the third year of seminary, when I was going through seminary, there was what they did. It was a year-long internship. And what you had to do in order to get that year-long internship was you had to go through a series of interviews. And when I was going through it, there were 14 of us, and there were 16 churches, so the odds were good that we were all going to get an internship. Until we get to the end of the process, and there was only 13 churches for us 14 candidates. And I was the last one that didn't have a church. That did a little bit of messing with my brain at that moment. But have you ever been in a place like that? Where you thought it was a slam dunk, where you had all sorts of expectations, where you know that you were following what the Lord wanted you to do, and it ended up in a spot where you didn't expect it to go. Is the Lord among us or not? See, that's the invitation in this text, because God is going to move to show that, yes, He's always been there. He's always been among us, even when we can't see it. And He's inviting us this morning into this life of faith that is much more about searching for holy endings rather than happy endings. He wants us to pursue holy endings, not happy endings. Now come with me and we'll dig into what that means for us this morning. If you look back with me at verse 1, it tells us here that Israel was set out and they were in the desert of Sin, and they were traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded, and then they camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for them to drink. Now, one of the things we have to understand about what was happening for Israel, and I'm going to show you a map of why this matters. Because what happens is that Israel has left Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they've entered into the Sinai Peninsula, and if you take a note there, this is where they're at, down in the wilderness of sin. So they've been just moving steadily along down the Gulf of Suez. The Red Sea is at the top up there. And then they get to, it's a little hard to see, but they get to this place right here. This is Rephidim. And what is special about Rephidim is that there's a place called the Wadi, and I want to make sure I say it right, Rephaid. It's a place that would have held water, good water to drink. But by the time that Israel had traveled that distance and come to that place, the wadi had dried up. And so they were moving from place to place, and they had all sorts of kind of trust that had been built up with the Lord, but they get to this one place and the water's gone. And the expectation that they had that things would be there for them disappeared. When expectations are disappointed. You know that an expectation is disappointed when you end up in the two places that Israel is known for now, quarreling and testing. It's kind of a test of the heart, if you will. If you have an expectation that's missed or disappointed, it usually breeds a quarrel, or it also makes you question or test the person who gave you the expectation. And then you see, this is exactly what Israel does. They do this to God. God has been leading them step by step. He's brought them through the wilderness, and he's, as the text says, he's guided them each step of the way. But when they get to this one spot and the water's all dried up, they're highly irritable. And as if nothing in the past had made any difference. And the unmet expectation reveals the spiritual nature or temperature of their heart. You see, when they get to verse 7 and they ask, was God among us or not? What they were expecting was the wadi to provide, not God. They were looking for the wrong thing. It didn't go like we thought it should, so God must not have been in it. See, this is what I was talking about earlier. This is the expectation of a happy ending, where everything goes exactly like we thought it should go. It's right to us. It's comfortable to us. It makes sense to us. And this is the invitation that I think this text is inviting us to see like Israel, what's our expectation? Is it for a happy ending? But then take note with me, the answer. Because what God does is just gives reverberations of his movement to remind his people that he's always been there. If you look at verses 5 and 6, we'll get there in just a moment, but let me remind you the setup, if I could, to verses 5 and 6. If you look at the timeline by which Israel has been progressing through the book of Exodus, it's only been about 6 months. From the time in which God parted the Red, well, go back even farther, in which he started the 10 plagues, he parted the Red Sea, he's led them by a pillar of fire and cloud, depending on if it's day or night. He has already provided them water. He's sweetened water at a place called Marah, which means bitter, because the water was bitter. And he has also already provided for them manna and quail, a feast in the middle of the wilderness. God, for the past 6 months, has done nothing but care for his people, time and time again, providing for them each step of the way everything they've needed. But evidently that wasn't good enough. So then we get here to verses 5 and 6. I want to take note with you of what the Lord is doing and what I hope he is inspiring in us maybe this morning as well. Verses 5 and 6, the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock of Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. God says, I will stand before you and strike the rock. He's tying this experience. He wants to tie this experience to the same experience that Moses had when he struck the water of the Nile. Now, take a look at that text real quick with me. This is back in Exodus 7. It says, this is what the Lord says, "By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, the river will stink, and the Egyptians will not be able to drink its water." God is trying to hitch and connect this experience for the people of Israel to the very same things that he's already been doing. He's going to strike the Nile, he's going to strike the rock, and water will come this time, even though water was taken last time. He's holding in front of the people his profound work that he's done for them already in the past. He's holding in front of them experiences of God's protection and care from the past. Friends, this is what I want to invite you to consider is a holy ending. Because it's not necessarily something that's going to make us comfortable right away, but it's something that God is inviting us into to see how he wants to form us or change us or grow us. And it takes faith, it takes trust, and it takes patience. I want to invite you to ponder for a moment. In those seasons where you've maybe wondered if God is among us or not, how quickly did you come back to the place where you had remembered a time in which God was on the move, if you will, or where God had done something amazing in your story before? Where God had shaped an experience that you had no idea it was going to end the way that it did, but it turned out better than you could ever expect. See, at that very moment where the question arises, is God among us or not? It should point us all the way back to the places where he's always been present in our lives so far. Those are the holy endings. The things you and I could never script. The things you and I could never plan. The things that you and I could never make up on our own. But they always require more faith. See, the answer to the question, is the Lord among us or not, is yes. He always has, and he always will. See, Paul even records a little bit of this story. Paul recognizes that there's a bigger picture going on, and so he references this story in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." And that rock was Christ. It's the profound nature of the incarnation. The profound promise that God is always with us. He's always among us. And he's never far off. So I want to invite you, maybe if you're the group that's going on the Asheville trip, I want to invite you to wait for holy endings. I don't know what God has in store for you as you travel, as you work, as you do your devotions together. I don't know what sort of ending he has in mind. But I hope it's a holy ending, not a happy ending, if I could be so bold. I hope it's one that Jesus shows up in unexpected ways and teaches you a deepening dependence on him. And he shapes in you something different that you didn't expect would happen along the way. Wait for the holy ending, not the happy ending. Maybe to each of us, as we're navigating our own journeys right now, maybe you're trying to find the happy ending, and you're trying to wrap it all together and make it all pretty and all nice. And maybe you just need to wait for the holy ending. What's God up to? He's with us. He's leading. He's guiding. He will never leave or forsake us. But he has something in mind he's shaping in us. I wish I would have known that, and I could have told Seminary Brian that. Come to find out what happens is, when you are the 14th of candidate in only 13 churches, God does pretty amazing things. Turns out what happened at that moment is the church that I was attending, I'd been going there for 2 years, ended up needing help in their youth department. And so instead of doing a year-long internship, I actually got a 2-year concurrent internship. God opened a door wide open. And actually, it turned out to be the place that then hired me and called me for the first 4 years of ministry. I wouldn't have seen that one coming either. Friends, those are holy endings. Those are things that we don't get to make up on our own. Those are things where we simply walk with Christ because he's been faithful each step of the way. And so I want to invite you back into that same thing. If you've ever been in that spot where you've asked the question, is the Lord among us or not? Yes. Always has. Always will. But he's inviting you to wait for the holy ending. The story he's writing and shaping for you today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, so often we get disappointed when things don't go the way we thought. We get frustrated. Sometimes if it's bad enough, we even lose faith and trust in you. But Father, just as you did for the people of Israel, just as you have been shaping in us through the work of Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us to long for those holy endings. We want the ones shaped by you, because they're way better than any of the ones that we could make for ourselves. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to remind us, to teach us that you are always among us, You're always moving. You're always leading. You're always guiding. Father, make us more aware of your Spirit's movement. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.